is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
And today is Debbie Deal's birthday.
It is, and I'm 18 again.
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 For the very first time again.
Many, many times.
For those who access only the very first time again. So we won't get into the details of that. So we will say happy birthday to Debbie.
Yes,
and because
you.
It's your birthday, we're going to go into the futuristic realm of discussions today.
Okay.
In spirit of Debbie, we want to talk about the potential of what we have for construction and development in this country. Not the what is, but what could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was important for us to take a leap into what a bountiful, beautiful future the country could have if we have some wishes. Now, you and I off air talked about one of the wishes that you and I share.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you a wish that I have, but only after your wish. So it's your birthday. Go with your first wish.
Oh, you mean the hospitals?
The hospitals or anything that you think this country should have as a wish. I wish to see this.
Well, I find it amazing that we're in hurricane season again. And, you know, in a couple of days, it'll be 3 months finished and 3 months going. But if you look at the Atlantic Ocean, there's like a, you know, three or four of them there. And we don't have hurricane shelters on every island. I don't understand that. You know, we were in South Andras a number of years ago, and we wanted to do some things. And there's so many buildings there that are government buildings that are empty. And every time you say, well, this would be a great building to use. We're contractors. We can fix this up and do this. No expense to you. Oh, no, well, there's some nurses that are going to come here. There's going to be some teachers. It was just foolishness. One of those buildings might have only held 30 people, but there's only like 900 people in South Andras. You know, why can't we protect persons in this time? Because if your house blows down, you still got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, that's why, even at the church, the New Providence Community Church, which is a hurricane shelter, when after the hurricane was over, the persons that were from Acklands, they had to stay there. It was like 60, 70 days that they had to stay there because there was nothing to go back to. You know, you can't just pitch a tent.
No.
You could, but you can't just pitch a tent. And I just find it, we should not be living in a hurricane belt like this, and we should not have to have our people suffer because they're scared to death and they don't know what to do.
I like that first wish, Debbie. For a long time, I really want to peel back the thought process for me. From the inception of the Bahamas, we've known we are in the hurricane belt. This isn't
No, something
new. New stuff to us.
Even when you see the houses in Hopetown and everything, they have the shutters and everything that were built in the 1700s.
That was stuff we knew, right? Mm-hmm. And so for all the educated men and women who have graced the halls since 73, all the ministers of works, the ministers of public works, and I think we need to call the things, the categories, but it's the minister of public works. Let's stop saying the minister of works. The works minister serves the public.
Correct.
We in the community, we're the public.
We are.
Mr. Works, we need hurricane shelters on every island. Let me make sure this is working. Mr. Minister of Public Works, the public is saying we need protection from life and peril on family islands. Why? Like Debbie stated before, I can't comprehend from a planning perspective where I sit down as a cabinet of the country and understand the archipelagic nature of this island, understand properly our vulnerabilities where we are surrounded by ocean. Mm-hmm. Ocean. And you're telling me 52 years in, not one island has a place for refuge intentionally built. Not, while New Providence Community Church is a nice building, mm-hmm. you know who doesn't own it?
Government.
The government of Bahamas. Mm. While all the other churches and structures and places that are functioning as shelters, mm-hmm. you know who does not and who did not pay for it and own it? The government. Mm-hmm. And this is why we in the BCA and other NGOs, we can't stop doing our job. You know why? Because let's take away the public buildings. Do we have the shelters?
I got to just interrupt that just for a second. So when the public, when private sector owns mm-hmm. the buildings, mm-hmm. they're well maintained.
Absolutely.
They have bathrooms.
They do.
And they're clean.
All the time.
And they work.
And they work.
And they have kitchenettes and have kitchens. Kitchenettes. And they have everything.
And you could get hot food.
Yes. They have that. Mm-hmm. Take a look around Nassau. Mm-hmm. I'm just using Nassau as an example. And look at the government buildings and see which ones are.
The
Ministry
God.
Of Health building on coming down Nassau Street.
And it's the Ministry of Health.
It has plants growing out of the gutter. How can the gutter work effectively if there's plants growing in the gutter? I mean, this.
It's the Ministry of Health, and it looks like an incredibly unhealthy space to walk into.
If you're going to build, in my opinion, if you're going to build a government building, like, let's say, I'm going to use that building mm-hmm. that we just talked about, that should be a hurricane shelter.
It should be.
So
it's in the middle of a big community.
It's owned by the government, mm-hmm. and it must have many bathrooms because it's huge.
It's a huge
and building. And it probably has a number of kitchens.
It probably does.
Yes. And that should be a hurricane shelter.
And
that
it's
should
easy to get to for the people in the immediate community.
Yes, and they should be able to go in there and
I
do
agree.
That.
That's a brilliant idea.
So every one of these buildings that we have that are government buildings.
In the middle of communities
should be hurricane shelters.
Should be designed that way.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
No.
If the windows are not impact-resistant windows, replace the windows and have that as the hurricane shelter. That would house at least 300 or 400
people.
Right?
I think that's a great idea.
So we've got plenty of those buildings that we can do.
We got a call. Let's take a call. Let's see what this call has to say. Good afternoon. Call you live.
Good day. This is Doc in the West along with you and Debbie Brother.
Hi, how are you?
I'm holding, thank God. Debbie.
Yes.
A godly birthday to you.
Thank you. I've been on the planet a very long time.
Well, thank God you are here. We are here.
there's some persons that would not say that, but thank you for being so kind.
You're welcome. But the thing is, continue watching your step going ahead. You understand what I'm saying?
We understand.
You hear, mm-hmm. you reach where you are, mm-hmm. and you have the understanding from where you came from, mm-hmm. and you know what you desire of you moving forward, so you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I still want to accomplish, so there's a lot of things in this country that need work, and I'm here to do whatever I can possibly do, even if it's just ripping off the Band-Aid. I want to be here to make sure that these things happen for my kids and grandkids.
Well, just keep your mind stable and your body healthy. and okay. your eyes focused.
There you go.
There you go. Thanks, Brenman. Thank you.
The right place. And you would get there with God's help, and other people would feel like you feel and desire the things to be the way you so desire. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And
Thank
we
you.
Would get there. You know, something came to my mind, you know, and I just thought to mention it. When I was a young boy growing up, we used to go to a place called Whale Key to camp every summer.
Mm-hmm. I know. I've been to Whale Key.
You in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cassius and those, yeah. Prince Edward and the Red Cross.
Oh.
I think we lost Bremen.
Say it again?
Oh, there you go. Back. Good. Okay.
Go. I didn't hear you.
No, we thought we lost you, but
yeah.
we got you back, so
okay,
go ahead.
Okay, good. Yeah, but to make a long story short, you know, when we were young, right, as children, 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, one of the
Did we lose them again?
It's very weird.
Yeah, we're having some challenge on that today.
Something about Whale
yeah.
Key. It's on his island.
So Debbie, so that's one of the wishes that it should be more than a wish. It should be a part of the national strategy for the Ministry of Public Works. It should be budgeted. And you and I talked about this before. You don't have to spend, you know, $50 million on a shelter.
No. You
the churches certainly don't.
No, because a building has to be a multi-purpose building.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense?
It does.
And we have so many of them.
So
I think there's 170 of them.
We're saying that even in the far-flung islands, if you get a structure there that's, you know, adequate size, doesn't have to be enormous, but I think what you're saying is that it is just inconceivable that we go into every hurricane season with the knowledge that we haven't built something for residents on the island in the likely event of a hurricane. Alonzo lit up, so we're going to take one of these calls. What do you got? Go ahead, calling you live. That's line 5, Mr. Producer. I don't know what's going on with that. Let's take the next one, Mr. Producer. Calling you live. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Special Thursday, and this is one of those days. I would have loved to be there from the very first minute, but I set the radio dial accidentally and missed the first minute.
No worries, we can bring you up to speed.
It seems as though you're having make your wish, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a wish list conversation
yes.
today.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. All right. Now, before I make a wish, I want to say happy birthday to your co-host.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Birthday is a special day in the life of anyone.
Absolutely.
And everyone. Right?
Yes.
Now, moving right on. Now, for the wish.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to comment on some of the remarks that you made earlier.
Okay.
But my wish is for a gymnatorium in every school.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a
great
wish.
Because an auditorium is a perfect place to have as a hurricane shelter.
As well.
Yes.
Yes.
So, okay, multi-purpose as you mentioned before, so mm-hmm. it will also serve that purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you did mention also that in terms of maintenance,
mm.
you're having fun with maintenance, upkeep.
Of everything.
Sanitation. And I have a big problem. You know, you get in trouble for saying the thing. Garden Radio is my favorite radio station. I talk and I call and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems as though we have more persons employed by the government. Not this government, all the governments, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet we get
less
productivity, right? I don't want to even call a certain department,
mm-hmm.
But you can go there and see up maybe as many as 60 persons, so to speak, on the blocks, on the job,
mm-hmm.
stockpile, and the rest of it. So we don't need another contractor to clean the gutters and have you know things you know as you mentioned before. But let me get back to the Florida Convention quickly.
Go ahead.
You mentioned that that the minister is called the Minister of Public Service.
No, Public Works.
Public Works, right?
Yes.
Public Works.
Mm-hmm.
But we are well aware that in the Bahamas, the minister per se doesn't have the say.
None of the ministers have the say, unfortunately.
Right? It's like a pun on the term. The minister doesn't have the say. Sometimes, perhaps, it's a collective decision and the priority, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, the way our government...
It's taken us again into the overall changing of the entire mindset of everything, not just government, of people, of individuals. I came across a very serious article as an educator, and it's saying that what I've known all along, that we are also teaching the children incorrectly.
Fair point.
We're teaching them to keep on doing what we're doing right now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The status quo. Do exactly what I did before, what I did before, what I did before. And that's a very, very, very observant point, caller. And part of the challenge as our nation, if we continue doing what we've been doing, where's the change?
There's no change at all.
So thank you, caller, for your contribution. Really appreciate you calling. We got another call on the line. Go ahead. Oops. Sorry, caller. Oh, crap. Hit the wrong button.
I usually do that. Yeah. I'm glad you did it this time.
My apologies, caller. Please call back. I hit the wrong button. I was not focused just now and hit the wrong button. So on that point again, I want to talk about the fact that we know what we should be doing. We know that we have hurricanes. We know that we could use the churches. We know we could use other private buildings. But the responsibility of government is to provide those for the citizens of the country.
Considering we've been talking about retrofitting every building in this country because of climate change, right? Insulated impact windows. We're talk about, building roofs that don't have large overhangs so the hurricane's not going to rip them up, and making sure that they have hurricane clips and building the foundations higher and all this kind of stuff. We're retrofitting buildings. Why can't we retrofit the existing buildings that are already here and turn them into hurricane shelters? It does not make any sense, because there's a government building in every single constituency.
Yeah.
It's not like there aren't there. They are there. Even in the smaller places, you go to Mayaguana and there's a commissioner's office, right? And then there's Batelco and National Insurance and all those are in the same building. Why can't that be a place where persons can go and feel safe?
Well, in North Abaco, they did retreat to the government complex.
Oh, they did? Okay.
And they did.
So oh, yeah.
That worked. We got a caller. Let's take this caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead. I think Live 5 doesn't like us.
What number is Live 5?
Yeah, we haven't challenged with Line 5. Sorry, caller. Okay. You're having technical
issues. Number you were dialing, dial another one of our numbers. Yeah, let me give them to you. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, Family Islands, 300-5720. Yeah,
there we go.
And text line, anyway.
422-GR96.
Yes, or
4796.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with my wish. Now, my wish is going to go near and dear to my personal heart. I have long believed that this nation continues to do a grave disservice to the men and women who, for whatever reason, come to an age where they need additional care and attention.
Yeah.
Still have a lot of life in them.
Yeah.
And this country,
kind of like an old folks home, but you don't have to be old to be in there.
Yeah, I don't want to call it that at all. This country has not respected the fact that at all stages in life, you have to prepare for it. And in other countries, they do a good job of preparing for it. In the Bahamas, we absolutely should be ashamed that we have something called an older folks home, because I think those places shouldn't be called old folks home. Retirement communities. In Florida, where I went to university, I visited one. I didn't know it was what it was, because I thought it was a country club.
Yeah.
I did not know that I was visiting in my school. We visited an assisted living community that had a golf course, racquetball, tennis court. I just saw most persons around 55 to 70 going about their lives and doing. And then they told us afterward, we'd be back on the bus heading back to university. Yeah, you just visited a retirement community. Right. No If this is what retirement is, I'd keep signing me up for that now.
Yeah, that's I had to put my mom in one of those as well.
In where? In which country?
Canada.
Oh, in Canada.
In Canada.
Can you put your mother in one in the Bahamas?
No.
What we have, and it's run by the Ministry of Social Services, mm-hmm. which again, social services. Social services is a public entity. Mm-hmm. Responsible for giving care to all ages of people. And I want, and this is personal to me. I don't know why we find it comfortable to somehow pretend like the elderly have already left the earth while they're still here.
Do you know?
I don't know why we do that, why we're comfortable with
that. Do you
know
about 35 years ago when Gladstone Farms was there, mm-hmm. okay, and I got to know one of the husband and wife couples mm-hmm. that from there. And they were in that same kind of industry. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we went and took a look at the South Ocean Hotel. Mm-hmm. Remember that? It's a two-story hotel.
Yeah.
It's kind of just off of the water, but there is the water that you can get to. Mm-hmm. It's really attached to the golf course as well. There's the Lyford Key Hospital there. Mm-hmm. We wanted to turn that into a retirement community mm-hmm. because the persons that... and people from away could bring their family mm-hmm. to stay there and that place, and then they could actually stay in a hotel, or they could buy themselves a condominium mm-hmm. or a townhouse close so that they could be with their family. But the government wouldn't let us do it.
You didn't have enough money or something.
I don't know. But I'm just saying that was an example of a building that nothing was going on with. Why can't you take something like that and do something like that?
I could do a better one for you.
Okay.
For me?
Okay.
Grand Bahama Island, the entire island, should be a retirement community.
And I also think what we need to do is when we talk about medical tourism, we need because this country is so beautiful mm-hmm. and the sea is so healing, and when you've got families that are in a United States and Canada that have gone through a traumatic mm-hmm. time with a family member that's had cancer, and now mm-hmm. that person is healing and healed, and the cancer is no longer there. A place where people could actually come and stay
and enjoy
and get, you know, either mm-hmm. either buy or, you know, a timeshare type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody passes, you could, you know, sell it to somebody else. I mean, well, these are such great ideas.
So these are ideas that do two things. Mm-hmm. It dramatically increases the amount of construction. Mm-hmm. To make these ideas happen.
It does.
Which makes us happy.
Yes.
And secondly, it diversifies our economy. This whole assisted living or retirement community, mm-hmm. think about it. We're still right here. We just sold a hotel and doing another hotel, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's the same old, same old. Yeah. We're just, mm-hmm. you know, it's a coin. No matter how many times I flip a quarter in the air, I know one thing. It's either going to be heads or tails.
Right.
No rocket science there.
Right.
If you take Freeport, Grand Bahama, and you sit down and design out a large retirement home, assisted living retirement community, mm-hmm. let me tell you what you will get on day one. Mm-hmm. First of all, do you know the number one retirement state in the United States is?
Florida.
It's Florida.
There you go.
You know how many people retire to Florida every year? More than 1 million people from America mm-hmm. retire to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Why can't they come here and retire?
It's 20 minutes away off the coast of Florida. And guess what? It's way more beautiful.
Yes.
You're telling me.
My grandkids were over there.
Geniuses who sit in Parliament, who look at hotel plans, could not figure out that I could literally steal 500,000 people who will pay to live on a beautiful island and retire who have money. They don't come to Florida with no money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They pay to move to Florida and pay from their retirement savings to live right. in an assisted living community so they can enjoy mm-hmm. the rest of their life.
Right.
And we keep building and buying and improving hotels.
Yeah, and then again, their family members can always come down, and that's
be the best.
You know what I like about that whole concept is, all right. So we talk about how tourism is our number one industry, and we've got all these people that come on cruise ships that really do nothing for the country. I shouldn't say it that way. I'm a fly-in guest type of person. I like somebody who comes into this country more as a guest as opposed to a tourist, right? Mm-hmm. Who will actually go out and investigate what's going on in the country and whatever island they're in, and mm-hmm. and they will they love it so much that they want to invest mm-hmm. either in property for themselves, or they would like to, you know, help offer schools and books and things like that. Those are the kind of people that we always used to have. Mm-hmm. Now we don't have that. We could actually get those persons back because they'd be coming here with their family mm-hmm. members, right?
And their family members would be living here.
Would be living
so they
here.
They could come to visit their yes. family member. Wouldn't it be cool to say, I'm going to see Grandma. She's in Grand Bahama.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. Wouldn't it be great? Be
the same reason we could go at Christmas down to time. Florida, they instead just go to the Bahamas.
Instead of parents living in retirement homes and don't see their family at Christmas, the family could come down to the Bahamas for Christmas.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It's not just, you know, a random group of people. These are people that could actually, well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. We got another caller. Yeah, let's see if this caller stays. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Debbie Deb, and Nicole.
Sands.
I never remember your name.
Sands, Leonard. That's the easy one.
Leonard?
Yes.
Okay. When y'all speak of these decisions made by, you call them geniuses.
Geniuses, right? Yeah, absolute geniuses.
Don't do that. Atmobile said that years ago. When you're trying to make, you want to make a genius, put a vehement in Parliament. That was sarcasm. He was making a joke. Right? We know they're not geniuses.
No.
But I just want to share that, you know, back in the 70s, the first time I ever went to Freeport, I lived on the top floor in the Princess Tower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, disheartened
yeah.
what Freeport has become.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a beautiful, bubbling city in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when y'all say the retirement home and, you know, being able to suck up all the vitamin D from the natural sun
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
people to come instead of going to Florida,
mm-hmm.
y'all are so on point.
Mm-hmm.
And now, when y'all said they purchased the hotel, right?
Yeah.
The viewers, see, what Minister ought to have done. The company, that was the shipping company that was selling the hotel when they purchased it.
Yeah,
right?
I believe so, yeah. Purchasing the one bar.
Right. Now, what they and the government, what they should have done was say, okay, y'all want this figure to purchase and to sell the hotel to us.
Mm-hmm.
But what they should have done was go there and get name brand, Marriott, Sheraton, and all the rest of them. Say, I want you to come look at this property
mm-hmm.
so they could manage it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Before they purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Arrange a management contract before they say they purchased it because nobody was purchasing it.
No.
Then they would not have had to sit there. Am I making sense?
You're making sense. Lots of sense. It diminished in value by sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, in other words, you know, you come check it out. And
$2 million a month.
Tell me, you know, so maybe we'll sign a contract with you or you manage your company or Sheraton, British, you know, one mm-hmm. of those major hotel operators. That whoever we want to sign the contract, look at it, you know, before we intend to purchase it to keep Freeport going, to keep the hotel going, but bring in a name brand international hotel operator to manage it from day one as to what you can do with it. And once they sign the contract, all this expense talking about, they would have, you know, what they had to pay to maintain it would have not have happened. Mm-hmm.
$2 million a month.
Yeah.
A month.
What am I saying? Did it make sense?
No, not in my view, but hey, we're not the geniuses that's sitting in Parliament.
Okay, but my suggestion would have paid off if they had arranged a few international hotel name brand hotel operators in advance to say, we're going to need one of y'all to manage this because the government is going to purchase it
mm-hmm.
for whatever cost.
Yeah.
So from day one, design a contract like how I'm running with Cable Beach Hotel.
Yeah.
You know, and they come in and manage it.
And manage it.
They're having this discussion today.
Yeah. Yeah. But somehow I don't know. I don't know where the thought process is.
That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. That didn't make them geniuses. And look what's happening now with, what's it in Wilshire?
Atlantis.
Concord, Wilshire, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's other group of geniuses they got in Parliament now. I just call them the group of bonobos. Y'all have a nice evening.
Thank you for your call. So Debbie, that's my wish. You know why? Because I see the potential of this country because of the beautiful waters, mm-hmm. the beautiful climate, the energy here. I can't find, and I remember I was in timeshare sales for a short time before college. And we used to be selling. Oh, you could take your timeshare and you could own here and then you could go to Colorado. And, and I'm like, I've seen Colorado in real life. Mm-hmm. The Bahamas beats that hands down. Mm-hmm. You're telling me I can't convince some people to retire in the Bahamas? Why isn't that even a national strategy?
I can
how about the retiring thing, at Andrus and Boone fishing every day.
I know.
For persons who love to fish.
The first thing that they're going to say it's going to be an issue with immigration. But it isn't going to be an issue with immigration.
No.
Because you give the person an annual residency, and it's based on living in the retirement. That's all it is.
Solution.
Right? That's a solution.
We nominate you for parliament.
You're
smarter than most. Hold on, we got another call. Let's take this call. Call you live. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to call again, but your program is very exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okie dokie. Now, I want to, first of all, quickly, where is it that you saw that retirement home, Mr. Sand?
And it was inside North Florida.
Okay, Florida.
Yeah, North Florida.
I thought it was St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands. That's why I was getting excited.
Do they have one in U.S. Virgin Islands?
No. No. But I know there's a spacious place, so that's the reason why.
North Florida is why I visited one. Okay. Yeah, and there's tons of them in North Florida. Tons of them.
And also, just think of the jobs that you create for persons. Yeah.
Permanent, long term.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your caller.
Now, Mr. Sands, you made a very bold statement about having Grand Bahama as the
hub. That, right. I would rebrand that, sir. I would rebrand Grand Bahama. And if they need Minister Ginger Morley, I'm sorry, you get a zero for ideas from me in the time that you've been in office, because I would have rebranded Grand Bahama as the retirement community just off Florida. I would have had a whole commercial, pitched it myself. I don't care if I had placards in hand, but we could have done that.
Because you know what you could add on to that as well? The medical aspect of it, right?
Yeah, that
you know
too.
How they were talking about, what is it called, where you take
stem cells,
right? So you could actually do the same thing there. You also make that as a hub of where things like that can happen. And why would they happen there? Because you've got older persons that could actually
who's living
use
there
them.
And who could use it.
Yes.
Continue, sorry. Sorry, caller. We got excited with something just now.
You're listening and you're learning. Yeah. I'm almost tempted to ask what became of the stem cell, but I wouldn't afford to ask that question.
Yeah, that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
That went with the guy who was pushing it, and you know what happened to him.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a point about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why we ought not to necessarily assign development to individuals.
Ah, great point.
So that if anything goes wrong with an individual, everything is done.
Correct.
All right?
Mm-hmm. Shareholders.
But I also want to make another point of observation. Why is not just the reconstruction, but just everything so expensive in the Bahamas versus what you can do in Florida?
Well, everything has to be shipped over here, and then we got duty on it.
We know of economies of scale and the rest of it and so on. Mm-hmm. But I still believe that there is some cost that is very prohibitive, because in some Caribbean countries, they spend perhaps a quarter of the amount and get
double the output.
But I find the Bahamas is very similar to Hawaii in the United States, right?
Yeah.
If you were to go there, you would find that everything there is also very, very, very expensive for basically the same reasons. You know,
I guess it's the branding and the premium. It's a premium destination, and when you pay a higher price for premium.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
but
and,
it also have a drawback,
right? And Hawaii is one of the states of the United States. You know, we're not the state of anything. We are just the Bahamas. So you know,
we have a long way to go.
We do.
As you said, never stop trying, even if you have to take the Band-Aid off.
Keep ripping it off.
Well, if you've known me for years, you know that's what I do.
collectively, I think we can do it collectively. And,
I think so.
You know, collectively and without smashing and name calling and bashing.
Mm-hmm. But it's not about bashing. You know, I've said to a friend of mine, if you and I sit down and mm-hmm. think about all these, to me, mm-hmm. just off the top of your head, ideas what could work and we could try.
Right.
You're telling me people who we pay to sit in the parliament and make decisions for us didn't think about this? It's not about bashing. I just want to understand, what do you do all day if your job is to figure out the best way to make use of this
country?
I don't
understand why they don't have one of the best think tanks in the entire world.
World.
Because okay. that's what you need. When you get all of these ideas and you throw them on the wall like it's Velcro, see whatever sticks,
yeah.
right? But that's the only way you're going to do it. You might have 2,000 ideas, and only 4 or 5 of them might end up coming to fruition.
But it may change the
but
whole
you've
country.
Got to actually do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please stop teasing me.
Okay.
The way we do things is different here, and not only here. In most political systems and governments. So if we depend on the government to lead the way, we will continue having the same situation yeah. until we actually reverse the government and let the government be like the private sector, so to speak.
Oh, well, that's a great wish, and I like that on your final point. We got another call in line. Okay. We got to go. But
yes.
Thank you very much
Thanks
for your
so
call
much.
And contribution. Before the break, let's take this call, Mr. Producer, because we got to take this call, and then we plug our sponsors. Call you live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and good afternoon, Ms. Debbie Deal.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You know, I want to congratulate you guys, I guess, you know, because I see the government now is moving very assiduously and aggressively to address this issue concerning these work permits.
So they say.
I don't know whether they're listening to your show and listening to the callers, like myself, call in, who is expressing great disappointment that 35 years later, that we still have persons working in the Bahamas who came in the Bahamas to work on Atlantis Phase
yes.
1 project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
So
I see them now as being very aggressive. So they say.
So they say.
I don't know if election is around the corner. I don't know. Maybe someone could tell me if we have an election next year.
It'll be in 2026.
That they are really trying to pacify the stakeholders in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
That they, you know, that they're doing something.
Yeah.
You know, and I ain't giving no one no, I wouldn't say I have bought into what they're saying, hook, line, and sinker, mm-hmm. until I see some results.
And, right.
You know?
I agree
and
with that.
And that is, mm-hmm. that is addressing these long, outstanding. Now, you made a point that I want to make mention of, and I know you got to go to the break, right? But you had indicated that we were talking about skilled workers,
mm-hmm.
right? That the Bahamas lack skilled workers. Mm-hmm. Then you came back and you said that a lot of those work permits are just general workers.
General workers.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So more than 90% of them.
So why are we having this serious recruitment if they are not recruiting skilled workers?
That is a question I asked the Minister of Immigration and the Minister of Labor. Because if you're telling me, as the Prime Minister of the Bahamas said, the Bahamas has a shortage of skilled workers, why are you allowing your minister to grant work permits for general laborers? That seems to be, doesn't add a solution to the problem.
And it seems as if they are recruiting these people for something else other than just construction workers. Because you can't bring in a ton of the same people you claim
you don't need,
meaning the Bahamians,
yeah.
who are unable to fill these positions.
No, doesn't make sense to me. It's counterproductive.
No,
and they need to be held. And they need to be held into account. Maybe. But then I know that's a tricky situation, right? Because when you're talking about an economy,
mm-hmm.
there's something that is known as those particular segments. And of workers, mechanical workers, something mm-hmm. to that effect. But the point I'm trying to make is, they claim that if they were to remove these people, the economy will collapse.
Who says that?
I used to be hearing this type of talk.
Who said
that? That segment of the working industry You need that. And if you were to remove those people unceremoniously, the economy will collapse. But I don't really buy that.
I would argue the opposite. I would say, I tell you what, America doesn't do this. If we study our jobless numbers, okay,
right.
I suggest this. Let remove the numbers of general workers, replace them with the jobless people, and let's see how long that maintains.
Yeah, good idea.
That. You know, that you could try that, because you're telling me an unskilled individual here and an unskilled individual over there, they're both unskilled. I don't know why you'd want to import the unskilled, but that's just an opinion. Yeah,
this isn't your function, but then it will be very interesting, you know, to dig deeper to see whether these persons who have been given these things called work permits for these general workers.
Mm-hmm.
It will be very interesting to see how many of those persons were what you would call regularized, you know, and now behemoth.
Yeah, that's definitely.
It will be very interesting.
Definitely interesting approach.
And they are now citizens.
Mm. Mm.
Then you know now that the primary purpose for them coming wasn't to get to work.
Let me say this, and Carla, thank you very much for your point. I'll say this on your point too. I can understand if you tell me you have a skilled person on work permit, and they've been on work permit for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year. You can't make me understand where I've met someone who's a general worker who's been on work permit for 15 years. Why would the Department of Labor renew a work permit for an unskilled individual for 15 years?
First of all, what kind of person would be unskilled for 15 years if you got a work permit? Wouldn't you learn something in 15 years?
You don't think that should be a question that the person in labor should ask? Hold on now.
What?
Yeah, be very quick, Mies. I think I may have asked the president this question last week, and I didn't really get it. But when you look at other jurisdictions, do they have persons on work permit that long? 15 years, 20 years, 30 years,
I would
40
years. I
don't know.
I don't know, but I can't see. Yeah, we can't say definitively, but if you look into the purpose of a work permit, the purpose of a work permit is issued to an individual who, first of all, said the skill that they need cannot be found in country.
Great.
The condition, though, so that's the purpose. Now, the condition of the work permit says that, okay, you could not find this individual. The country recognizes that we don't have that individual. We will grant you the work permit on the condition, and I want the public to understand what a work permit granting means, on the condition that you have that individual that we allowed you to bring in here also train someone to replace him.
Definitely.
That's the actual condition. Condition, and you understand contract. Mm-hmm. Condition means that you have to do this.
Yeah.
So this is why we're saying we don't understand why you would have repeat people on the work permit for 20, 30 years if you said the condition had to be satisfied. So you're telling me you could not satisfy training a Bahamian in 25 years? Are we the slowest people in the world?
That's exactly what we are saying, you know, in terms of an
idea. Wow.
That's exactly what we are saying. In terms of, but I don't know about these general workers, but they must be the most skilled general workers on the planet.
Well, if they are the most skilled general workers,
they should be a skilled person.
They
should be a higher permit.
You can't be a skilled general worker.
They should be a higher permit.
After working in that capacity for so long, they have to be skilled.
They may be the best bucket carrier and cement mixer in the world.
They must be the best in the planet for them to be in the Bahamas that long. They're not giving another country an opportunity.
I'm telling you, we got to get it right.
Really
Carla, thank
really
you very much for your contribution and your call. We got
to
go to a break.
We really do. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to go to a break and we'll be back right after this.
When when your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates, as little as 5% down for first-time buyers, and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
This is how we do it.
Get ready to kick off the new school year with a bang. It's the Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th in the parking lot of the Nassau Guardian in Oaksville, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join us for a day of fun, games, and back-to-school excitement. We've got something for everyone, from bouncing castles and face painting to health screenings, hair grooming, and giveaways. Meet some of your favorite local businesses and get ready for the new school year with all the essentials. We'll have school supply vendors and local eateries with delicious treats. Don't miss out on the fun. The Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th at the Nassau Guardians parking lot, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the perfect way to celebrate the end of summer and get excited for a great school year. See you here.
Brought to you by The Walking Clinic, Boss, Alive, FML, Asa H. Pritchett, Nassau Agencies, Original Parties, Caribbean Bottling Limited, Purity, Ari the Artist, Little Caesars, Marco's, Wendy's.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the outhouses.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Nailed it on Guardian 96.9 FM. Right. Debbie, you want to plug our sponsors here?
Yes, I would. I'd like to thank all the persons that have confidence in us and have sponsored this show. Thanks to them, we have this show. This week, we have ART, we have CB Bahamas, and we have Family Guardian. We need Family Guardian to come in and spend a Thursday evening with us and talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, we really need to, because I know they said when they signed up that they were going to do that, but I think it's time. you know, we've got school starting in September. Yeah. You've got insurances that you're going to need to have, your students have, that parents are going to have to pay. There's all kinds of reasons mm-hmm. why we need to do that. So thank you very much for being our sponsor.
Yeah. And I just want to plug also the fact that the Bahamian Contractors Association had a successful contractor certification course this mm-hmm. week. Mm-hmm. It was oversubscribed. Thank you, everyone who registered for the course. Mm-hmm. And we are planning to extend this opportunity to the Island of Lutra next.
Yes.
And then also virtually for all those persons who didn't make it into this course mm-hmm. And who want to take advantage of it. Again, it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Every participant was just overwhelmed with the amount of knowledge, the new learnings, the skills about how to run your business properly, which would mm-hmm. change the way they do business moving forward.
Yes.
So we want to thank our consultants, Veritas Consultants, for helping us with that, and also the BCA for all the hard work in getting it done. Now back to our conversation about the future of the Bahamas, if we built it the way we wanted to. But before we do so, let's go to this call. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Leonard Sounds and Debbie Deal.
Hey,
good
how
evening.
Are you?
Yeah, I got to wish Debbie Deal a happy birthday, to saying that she's a Leo.
Yes, I am a Leo.
I know there was always something special about her.
You're sweet.
Leo, right? But there's something about us, right?
Yes, if anybody knows me, they know I am a real Leo.
But I also would like to thank you, Mr. Sanz, right? I was listening to you for the past 2 weeks, and I think you was on the show sometime last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had highlighted the demographics and the numerology that you were saying unskilled laborers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought there would have been some juxtaposition. I think this is what you were saying, but I didn't, I was in and out because I think a talk show misheard what you were saying, because I'm quite sure that you were saying that there's no need for all of these unskilled laborers. I don't know, especially if it's they're documented, but what's the point of that when you're not giving me the information from labor versus these people just coming in and work permit? And so even so, if we had freedom of information, I can just being able to access this information, like how many people are coming in on work permits and they're getting citizenship subsequently,
but
while they're here.
With 52, that's a different part of the conversation. The first part of the conversation is actually right. Let me ask you a question this way. If you were inside the Department of Immigration and Department of Labor, and I said to you, I'm Leonard Sands, and I want 50 general laborers and 2 plumbers and what's not, to grant me what I asked for, wouldn't you have to know what I have already?
And, you're supposed to
the question is, they don't know, so why would they say yes to my request?
You
don't know what we have.
You're supposed to advertise for those jobs.
Mind you, that's part of it. But mm-hmm. the agency should know what we have in country.
No, but that's what I mean. They should be able to, they should have advertised to see whether there is those jobs or is that there's not those jobs.
And let's agree,
are
52.
Are the people or not the people?
Do you see enough advertisements? And we could ask everyone this. Do you see enough advertisements on the public radio, on the newspapers, of all the job offerings where there are persons satisfying them who are from out of the country? I don't see all the abundance of all the areas
like
that you're talking
point,
about.
You know, because iron sharpens iron. But the thing is, you are educating, like opening up eyes, because, you know, we all down different various labyrinths, right?
Mm-hmm.
But by you saying that, something came to my mind as with this dilemma, because what I'm saying is that you try, even the Haitian Bahamians who are born here,
mm-hmm.
you see what I'm saying, Ms. Deal?
Mm-hmm.
They're entitled to jobs too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So if we, like see how they always say, and I this comes to my mind when it comes to carbon, the carbon BS. How are you trying to manage what you cannot measure? I have the knowledge.
52?
I don't want you.
52, you go straight to the head of the class. This is the, Debbie and I always differ on that point, because I say, I'm an engineer for profession. It is impossible for me to comprehend managing something that you cannot measure. It does not work. My brain does not compute it.
In this instance,
it does not.
Mr. Sanders, it seems as if they don't want to measure. But because when you listen to the states and Donald Trump was able to say who is overstaying visas, right?
Yeah.
That gives you an idea of the level of scrutiny.
Ah,
that's
doing, but you were not conscious of it.
Yes.
So we are still in the dark ages, still looking at pages.
Exactly. And but
pages.
Also,
now,
but also 52, before you go on. Hold on, before you go on. You see what you said? To your point, Donald Trump, through the agencies in the United States, could tell you about the situation that they're managing. Because they collected the data. What I was telling Debbie on this point, and I'm glad you raised it,
She says, our data is coming from somewhere else. I say, you telling me I don't trust data would come from somewhere else.
Yes.
I'm going to produce the data and I can trust that. But you tell me, someone tell me my carbon credits is worth $10 billion. Okay, what if it's worth $10 trillion? I can't trust data coming from outside. Yes, we need to collect the data.
Yeah, we now collect the data. We do that now.
Yeah, but as it relates to something like that, it's the same thing like a company coming into your country and inventorying your natural resources. You're depending on them. But what I wanted to get in is the fact
that greenhouse gas emissions.
It's the immigration, right? It's the fact that we're not willing to provide this information. And then you have people who politically blinded and just so fanatical and imbecilic in that they want to paint the external reality for somebody like me that lives in the inner city, but you know I diverse, you know, and seeing the problem, but then you're telling me you're calling it hysteria because your party's in and you don't want to admit that some children are saying there's no space in the schools and in the hospital. So you're not being realistic with the chronology, with the reality of the problems and the dilemmas that is being created.
No.
You're saying demons are creating hysteria. I don't know where he lives, right? And because a lady called and she was talking about just the visible presence of the migrants. And then what I'm saying is the flights coming in, if you have other places not accepting flights and not going there and giving warning, then why are we allowing a certain people to just come in unabatedly when we know that immigration is ground zero for corruption? And I don't care what nobody say, man. Because what I'm saying is, when you highlight the whole chronology of granting citizenship and then these people passing on citizenship, and the ladies pointed out the fact that young children, you really think they're going back? You know, I have a Haitian American friend who was born in Freeport, came here, and so his daughter came over because he have something from somewhere saying he born here and way. But, then Trump administration would be a dumping ground for them coming back here way. So, but you're telling me now as a Bohemian, I'm xenophobic for the callers who call and they saying hysteria and we don't have a migrant problem, why they don't go in Haiti and live and get a job and see how it is?
And they wouldn't get it because there's too many people looking for the job as well.
The contempt and the contentions, which me and you at our age, right, Debbie and Leonard, we're not used to this animosity between Haitian and Bohemian. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Well, I think we went off.
I think the political imbeciles are really the problem, you know. Because when you're not willing to acknowledge the problem and you want to paint the reality for somebody who sees it, just shut up, man.
I think we went off course.
Thank you.
We went off course of that conversation because our conversation was basically we have work permits for unskilled persons for an extended length of time. They should have adopted a skill, or there must be a rule that if you are unskilled and within 2 or 3 years that you adopt a skill, then you would have to get a different permit for a skilled person.
The application doesn't even require that, Debbie. I have a family member in the senior ranks of immigration. We don't have these debates because I already told them that, you know, this what we're doing is kind of weird to me. I stated to you what the purpose of something was, and then the condition. There are no other things on that form.
Oh.
So if you have no skill and I granted you the work permit, at the end of the tenure, I no longer, if I do two things. If I no longer need the non-skilled individual, they shouldn't get a work permit granted and they should leave the country. Correct. That's the first thing. Yeah. And secondly, if you still need that unskilled person, if I'm immigration, I'm saying now, you still need this unskilled guy. Can't you find an unskilled guy somewhere else?
Well, don't we have like 7,000 people that come out of high school every year?
Yeah, we can't. They're not unskilled either. Aren't they?
Well, they probably are because they've never worked in construction unless they have an uncle or an aunt or somebody who's a contractor and then worked with them.
Cheat code for all the young men and women in this country. Here's the cheat code because I want you all to get jobs the minute you graduate high school. Bribe your parents. I don't want to say the bribe. Convince your parents to take you all on a short 1 week vacation to someone other than here. Come home. Filed for a work permit and said, I'm actually from the place I visited. And I amazingly, somehow, you get sponsored for a job and you'll be employed. I'm just being facetious.
I know.
It seems to me that's the only way we can get some unskilled people from the Bahamas actually working in the unskilled construction space.
Because all of us are unskilled until we learn,
until we learn. But apparently, Bahamans, we can't teach Bahamans anything. Hence, we need to continue bringing the unskilled person to the job site. Mm. But before we get off the show, the final thought I want to leave is this. And 52 mentioned something, and I want to go back to that. America and Canada, I admire those countries in certain ways. No, not in every way, but let me tell you what I admire.
It's too cold
about
in
them.
Canada.
Yeah, but what I like about the countries is they understand and know what they have and what they need. Mm-hmm. And it's based on that knowledge. They shape policies based on it. Mm-hmm. You and I are on this radio talking about the fact that we've finally gotten the government to understand what we've been saying. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is on the street level, like 52 is saying, you can't tell me we don't need to train Bahamans in drywall, metal stud framing, carpentry, painting. Tile. You can't tell us that because we're in a space where we see firsthand that we don't have enough persons in those spaces. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we don't have enough persons in the spaces because no one's trained them. Now, let me give you an example of how this works. Mm-hmm. I got trained in masonry. I can do masonry. Mm-hmm. My father. Mm-hmm. I'm not in the workspace as a mason.
Right.
So you're less one of an individual who can, but not willing. I'm not going to be a mason.
Right.
I'm senior project manager. I mean, why would I? You understand me? What about the persons, Sam, who haven't even been trained?
Right.
So your numbers of untrained in the space where you actually need is in the thousands. The thousands.
I think what we need to go back to again is something you had mentioned for the last 2 weeks you've been talking about, right? For some reason, everybody thinks that to be in the construction industry means you have to go home dirty, full of concrete.
Sometimes, some days.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying, that's what they all think. They don't realize, like you had said, that a painter makes, what, $50,000 a year. A carpenter probably makes 60 to 70, sometimes
depending
100,
on
depending on how good he or she is, right? So there is a lot of money to be made in the construction industry, and not all of it is mixing cement on the side of the road.
Not all of it.
So you have to, if you really wanted to, if you don't really want to go to university and you want to stay in the country, and
you can't.
You want to move for
forget
for
about
their
whether
head,
you want to or
right?
not. You can't.
Right. Then why not look into it?
Yeah.
I mean, you've watched home shows. You've seen the jobs that painters do and tile layers do. You can be creative in everything you want to if you want to.
Debbie, I don't know if you go on TikTok at all. You go on TikTok?
I'm not a fan of TikTok.
Okay, good. Let me tell you the other side of TikTok. Uh-huh. There is a Bahamian young lady on TikTok who builds. Mm-hmm. She creates and she builds.
Okay.
She's busy all the time.
Okay.
She makes, whether you want an art piece, or whether you want a chair, whether you want an outdoor, whatever. Mm-hmm. Self-taught.
Right.
Just loved using tools.
Wood, yeah.
And wood. Mm-hmm. Self-taught. Yeah. Young lady. She's probably 25.
Right.
Sustains herself by her craft.
Right.
You're telling me more and more young people can't provide that service? Debbie, you would like to know you have 100 people you could call if you needed something fabricated. Mm-hmm. Rather than calling the guy and say, yeah, Debbie, I can probably get to you by next month on the 3rd.
That's the
truth. You don't want that.
That's the truth.
Okay, well, I know you're busy now. I'll just call this person.
Yeah.
Oh, I know you're busy. I'll just call this one. That's industry wants options. Mm-hmm. Many of us are saying, Debbie knows that she can only call this guy.
Yes.
She knows she can only call that individual. That doesn't make her business resilient. What if that individual is ill?
Oh, God. I mean, it's such a challenge whenever
a
you
challenge.
Get into a situation where you know you're going to need that person. You call them well in advance. Show them exactly what it is that you need. Are you going to be able to do it?
Yes, at the time.
Do you think it'll be able to happen for me? Can you slot me in? And, you know, even if I'm not ready for that, I'll pay you for it anyways to get you, keep
the
you interested.
In,
you know? Yeah, it's challenging.
It's challenging. And it's challenging because... Mm-hmm. We don't have the availability of those persons with those skills.
Yeah.
That's today. Let me tell you something. Someone did some work for me at a project called West. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you where skilled Bahamians thrive. Mm-hmm. He did the metal framing. Mm-hmm. It was a repair of an exterior column. Mm-hmm. He did the stucco, mm-hmm. and he did the painting. One individual. Mm-hmm. So he has three skills in his person.
And you know why he did that? Because when work got slow on one, you got to be in
another. Learned another thing.
The metal stuff would be the beginning of the job. The painting would be the end of the job. But I mean, it makes sense.
That's smart. But that guy is able to go to, he could do at fast. He could go and he could frame up this wall. He's finished with your project. Oh, Debbie, you got something to do? Mm-hmm. I could go and put some masonry on the wall. Oh, someone else got something to do? Yeah. I could go and paint something. That's when you learn skills. That's what we're trying to preach to parents and educators and young people. Mm-hmm. If you learn skills with your hands, your hands can do amazing things.
Yes.
If you just train them.
Yes.
Train these hands.
Because we don't all need four days of work. University.
Here's the kicker. Mm-hmm. You know what 4 days of work was? Mm-hmm. $2,000.
Wow.
4 days.
Wow.
$2,000.
Give me his name. I want to do it.
Okay. But, and I hear all these strange people talking about, but they don't understand the money in construction.
I need to do that.
4 days.
I need to be able to make $2,000
in 4 days.
Yeah.
And guess the kicker?
What?
Every day. Mm-hmm. He clocked out at 1 p.m.
Wow, because he's done.
He's done because after you set the masonry, you can't touch it no more. Yeah. He's done.
For some reason, people like to drag a job out, which is weird because if you hire them for a cost, right? You give me the price to do the job. I don't care if you take 10 years, right?
But you understand me, Debbie?
Yeah, I do.
Debbie, took it 4 days and half day you every got, day. It's two days.
You got my eye twitching talking about this.
Exactly. Yeah. He's worked technically.
Wow.
Two days. 4 days for $2,000. That's $1,000 a day.
Wow. So
next week's show, which we got to get off the air, somebody called me, where else in this country you could make $1,000 a day, and we want the address of where that place is.
In something legitimate.
Okay, yeah. In something legitimate. It can't be illegal.
No.
But nowhere else I can understand where you can make $1,000 a day. It's been a great show. We got to go now. Thank you. It's been another wonderful edition. Nail it, and I think you nailed it on your birthday, so that's a good thing anyway. And we're out here. Bye. When it rains and the flood came and the wind blew hard like a hammer on me, falls. We didn't crack or break or fall. We built this house on a rock. Oh, this house on a rock.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing a breakup wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air will ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to rust forever.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have that capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the odd islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.